What is up, everybody? This is Recap Rewind. I'm J-Lag.
And I'm NB.
And this episode is recapping and reviewing Riverdale Season 7, Episode 2. And it's called Chapter 119. Skip, hop, and thump.
Ooh. Skip, hop. And don't forget, guys, stick around for the ending of the podcast. We are going to go through our recap roundups and your recap roundups. And there are so many good ones this week, so be sure to stick around for the end of the podcast for that.
And as always, to our continuing listeners and our brand new ones, thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Chanel.
The Chanel.
The episode.
Let's get into it. What did you think?
Okay.
Oh,
hot take. Oh, I mean, I don't even know if this is a hot take because I don't know everybody's reaction to it. But
okay.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I think that it is, you know, like now that we're in this world, like 50s, we're staying here.
Yep.
We know what happened last episode. This is kind of like a, this is like the true reset, in my opinion, in terms of like, forget about the time jump and the skipping and the universe and the angel and whatever. We're now in this world. Let's deal with it. I enjoyed it. I think like if we're in this world, it was good. It brought up some things. Like it felt very high school.
Yeah.
It gave us some high school drama. I'm really, really excited to talk to you about like some of the shipping that is starting to be created. The love triangling is very new and different from what they've done in the past.
Yeah.
That I'm excited to talk to you about. And then a few like different relationships that I didn't think they were going to explore this late in the game, but they are.
Like what?
Like Jughead and Ethel, for example.
Like,
what a random thing. And
he's
then also like
friend zone her.
Can't wait to talk about Kevin.
Oh my god.
But I have a smile on my face for the first time talking about Kevin. So
okay, good. That's
it'll be
hopeful.
Hopeful, yeah. Interesting stuff happened this episode. What did you think?
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with you. You know me. I'm all about the high school. I absolutely loved it. I ate it up. I ate every little crumb. I loved it. And I think that a lot of people, because I kept seeing like people's commentary and they're like, why are we going backwards? Like we've already dealt with, I'm like, but I don't see it as going backwards. It's kind of like this reset, like how you said, totally. Like it's like a reset on all these characters. We're starting from ground, you know, zero again, and we're building them up. And I have to say, I'm loving some of the interactions that are happening and the way things are unraveling. For example, when Archie asks Veronica and it doesn't go his way, he doesn't just sit there like a little puppy dog. He's like, you know what? Like, no, like I'm done.
Yeah. And he doesn't like rage out like he normally would,
no.
Like punch a wall or something, no. You know, like this is not angsty Archie that we met in the other world.
I freaking love Archie so much. He, KJ Apa, like my heart has a spot for him because like the way he's so jolly and like so innocent this whole episode, I freaking loved it. But to what I was saying, I'm loving those interactions. I will say one thing that I'm waiting to see, and I'll say this now before I forget. We are in this time where like obviously like homosexuality is like no one's talking about it. It's like taboo, like literally in some states it's like illegal. So I get that some characters are hiding this, right? Kevin and Cheryl. But the other characters that are more open about it, like Clay now that we're meeting, and Tony, they're very like sort of confident about it. They're very like comfortable with it. I want to know, where do they come from that they are so open about it in this generation? And we already know sort of where Kevin and Cheryl come from and why they are the way they are. Like, I really hope they show that difference of the foundational growth and like awareness in these two people and why they're comfortable with it. And then these two people.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wonder if they're going to explore that because it's a really good point.
Like,
where's
that you Tony's make. Story? You know,
they literally just jump right in and they're like, yeah, gay, gay, gay. You know what I mean? Like they're super like pro it and like they're not really skirting around it. But yeah, we can definitely talk about it more when we get to it. But that's a really good question. Like, are they going to talk about the reason why they're okay with it? Because if you remember, in the other world, Tony didn't have a good time talking to her parents about being gay.
Yeah.
Right? So like that was a hard conversation for her to have. And I think it was with her grandma, I think.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly like a cut and dry situation. Are they going to bring in culture? Are they going to bring in the historical culture around that? Because I don't know if that was necessarily the case back then either.
You know what?
Maybe it's
Now that
just a
you're saying
matter.
that, somebody, and I'm so sorry if I forget your name, I don't know who said it now. It was someone in our comments, and they said the fact that they're not, I mean, they hope that they also touch on the fact that Veronica's like Latina. Like, why are you not talking about the fact that she's Hispanic in this time, in that age, in that generation? Like, if they kind of skirt over that, I don't know. I feel like they will, but someone brought that up in our comments, and I thought that was such a great point to make. And then also quickly the fact that Veronica, like this, looking at like where these kids are coming from and who their parents are and like what they know and what their experiences are, I look at Veronica and I just feel so sad for her because she gets none of that. And we see more of that in this episode, and we'll talk about it later. But yeah,
For
more
sure.
of like this background of like who these characters are
Right.
now that we're sitting with them once again and the sort of like a reset now.
And I think that does come from, and not to like bring the parents back into it, but I think we got a lot of that from the parents and seeing how the parents are acting and how that's kind of impressed on them. And if what you said early, like last episode, that Mark Consuelos did sign on for at least one episode, maybe when he does show up with hopefully Hermione as well, we get that story from Veronica to be like, this is why they had the show, made it their baby. Maybe it has to do with the fact that they're Latino or like Latinx, and
Like push
they had to
through and
like
like,
push through. So maybe that is a part of her story, and I feel like I'd totally bite in right into that because I think
100%.
that is a reality even now, right? Like having to look a certain way or be a certain way just so you can be accepted by the majority of society. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they explore that, but I don't know. Do you know how many episodes this is season is?
I'm assuming it's the same, like
Like
22,
22
20.
episodes. So maybe they have some time to discover like these little pieces. I think my issue is I keep worrying about them rushing to the end, and
I
like
know.
I'm sure everyone's feeling the same way. Like there's a lot to bite into now that they've like really blew it up into something
So
completely
much.
new.
And I think that's what we're saying right now is like, guys, there is so much to talk about. There's a lot of potential here. Hopefully they get to all those points because I do think it will add, that layer that this season is really touching on. Like, we are going there. So let's go there.
Let's go.
Final
Let's go.
season. Like, let's do it. Okay.
For sure.
Let's do it.
Let us do it. Let's go into the episode. Starts off with Jughead reading comics. He talks about the fact that the whole town loves comics, but right now, horror and crime comics are like the thing. He's flipping through one of them, and then we see him like getting upset about something. We're like, what happened? Shows the next morning, and he goes into the lounge to talk to Dilton, Ben. We see Ben, this character that we saw from the very beginning of the show. He's like all
Who was
grown up
Ben?
now.
The one that like died?
Yeah, the one who jumped out the window during the
Oh,
cult,
okay.
like
Oh,
cult
yeah.
storyline. So he's back, and then Ethel, they're all kind of sitting around the table. I guess it's like the nerd table. I want to call it the nerd table. And obviously, like Jughead's buddies with them. So he's like, did you see the comics? Somebody stole my idea. Pep Comics stole my idea. I literally
So
submitted this to
heated.
them, and they took my idea. So he's heated. This is his mission this episode. And then it cuts to Cheryl's mission of the episode, which is announcing the sock hop. She's very excited about it. And then it's cute because it's like the announcement is playing and it shows like everybody reacting to it. It was kind of cute to see, Archie kind of like googly eyeing over Veronica, and then even Betty looking over at Kevin and then kind of making eyes with Archie and like noticing him from afar. It was that cute little, like, I don't know, that high school moment that
Yeah,
you see like
they did
these people
so
kind of like
good.
looking at each other. It was cute. I loved it. So Archie asked Veronica out like right off the top, and
To
she
the
wants him to like
dance, right?
essentially, yes, to the
Yeah.
dance. And she wants him to essentially audition. She like says it right from the get-go. I'd like to see your moves. That's how she kind of starts it off. I'd like to see like how you
Yeah,
dance.
like,
And
can
so
you
in his
dance?
head, this cutie
So
Archie, he
cute.
was like
I
you just said,
can't.
he was the cutest little guy in this episode. And this, I guess, is a shout out to KJ Apa being such a great actor, but like playing a 17-year-old when you were 20 something and a father, like I don't know
He
how you pull
really
back into that, but he does.
like rejuvenated this character. Like, in a season where I really thought he was like, I'm over this, like, let's wrap this shit up, like, we're final season. season, he still brings this amazing magical energy to Archie that, like, when he's on screen, I'm like smiling because he's so cute. Like, he's so like giddy and jolly. And it's KJ, like, it's what he brings to the role.
And it's a different energy. Like,
like
I was saying, like, the Archie that we had in the other world, he was obviously like a little bit darker, gritty. He went to war. That really affected him greatly.
Yeah.
This one's like, I'm truly 17. I'm just a do-gooder. He just wants to like have a good time. He's not ready to like fight anybody. And like obviously he says something like that later on when he gets triggered. But like what we see in this episode is this very like loving kid. Like, he's just a kid and he just wants to, like, you know. So when Veronica says like, you need to teach me to dance, you can see like the wheels turning as like a sophomore kid or a junior being like, oh, I gotta learn some dance moves. Like, he's trying to impress this cool girl, you know. So I loved it. And Veronica's just sitting there all pretty, whatever. Then it cuts to Cheryl and she's selling her tickets at the booth, and Tony, like, right,
does Tony go to the school? Because like, I couldn't tell.
I think she does, but they don't really introduce that in the first episode in that way, right? Like, she's wearing different clothes in the first episode, but I think she's there. So she shows up this time, but she shows up with fangs. I think that's the first time you kind of see her, and she's now like in the greaser mode. And I know we asked about it last episode, like, where are the serpents? Are they going to be introduced? But they are like established as like a greaser group.
Yeah.
They don't really go much more past the fact that they're like a little mini greaser gang.
So remember how last episode we thought she was grabbing the serpent jacket and she was like, I don't recognize this. It wasn't, she was wearing the serpent jacket. It was the pretty poison that she was like, I don't know.
Yeah. She's like, this is, I don't understand this. But essentially Tony goes over to Cheryl and says, I know that you guys are having the sock hop, and I know you already have a lineup, but my buddy Fangs wants to play at your sock hop. He's cooler, he's more fun. Your crooner boy bands are out. Like, get my boy.
Time to go.
And it's an interesting moment. And I know Shoney fans probably lost their freaking minds.
I mean,
I lost my mind as a fan, just kind of like watching them.
Because they're the spark. So funny. Like,
it's just like the perfect amount of like push and pull and like this giddiness that you get from Cheryl, who's like clearly in this world.
She's getting so annoyed.
She's getting annoyed, but she's getting excited, and she's kind of like getting like, she hears
and like Tony knows how to like push her, like every inch she's like pushing her, and then Cheryl's like
like, and she's just like, fun to just want to jump you. Like, it's really cute to see this little banter that they're having. And essentially Cheryl says no in this moment. She's like, no, you cannot do that. No, we're not doing that. So obviously Tony's like, okay, cool, I hear you, I see you, I'm gonna make a move now. Cuts to Jughead at the comic publisher's place, like Pep Comics. He goes to visit them and talks to the editor-in-chief, and he calls him out. He's like, you stole my idea, I can't believe you did this, I wrote it in and now like it's a comic book, like what the hell. And he basically says, the editor-in-chief says, listen, no shade, but like, there's no such thing as original ideas when it comes to comic books. Like, your idea was not that original. There's literally an entire cabinet full of half-baked ideas that I haven't even published yet, and I just need to write them, so get in line, essentially. And that's when Jughead kind of like sparks the light bulb, and he goes, you guys don't have writers? Like, I write, like, I can write you a comic book. And so the guy says, cool, write me a little draft, here's an idea, write me a draft and let's see how it goes. If it works, then cool, then I'll publish your idea.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think this storyline is gonna feed into that whole storyline of him like writing Riverdale?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I still don't really know what the final intention is. I loved when he was getting into comic books last season when he lost his hearing and he started becoming like more of a comic book writer, because I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, he kind of adds to this new story, but then he got back to the typewriting. I don't really know like where that all falls, but all we know is that he's going to be contributing some writing to the story, okay. And maybe that is going to be the final kind of piece, like it all kind of comes back together to the comic book storyline. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he Jughead's game. He's ready to write for them. He takes the paper and he leaves. Then it cuts to Betty and Archie in her room.
Okay. Let's do this.
Like, crack, crack, crack.
Let's
get into this.
Okay.
So once again, going back to
Archie. Up until now, there has been no, I mean, it's only been an episode, but like there hasn't been a Archie Crumb. No. And I'll be like, I like Archie, but like there was no Archie Crumb last week, guys. Like, I don't know what, you know what I mean? So this truly was like a moment where I was like, wait, are they starting to build this? Or is it just like a total like innocent like moment scene? And I loved that. I will say this one thing. I love the fact that in this version, Betty didn't come into it being like, I love Archie. It really wasn't a thought to her really until
until the scene.
Yeah. And I love that.
I mean, I do love the idea that they built in the other world where like they were childhood friends and across the window.
But they still were in this one, you know, like
they were, but like they don't like they were like she was this forlorn love interest from a long time ago. And, you know, ever since they were kids, she saw him from afar and she, you know, but like it was that so whole one-sided. Buildup was there.
It was so one-sided because it was like from her and it was like her being friend zoned all those years. So like, totally. I love that too. And I think it's so like romantic and cute in a way, but like, this was like, we're starting off blank. We really haven't thought about this. And here we go. And I found that really exciting.
But don't you feel that in a way, this is still currently in its current state, a little one-sided, like Betty's starting to catch feelings by the end of the episode. Maybe. We don't really know what Archie's intention.
No, you're right.
You know, he's still hung up on Veronica by the end of the episode, right?
You're right, but like maybe it'll change. And like it was very subtle too. Even with her, she was like, what am I feeling right now? Like she didn't even know what she was feeling yet. Right. So I don't know. They just did such a good job of really like building this in a slow way. And I loved it.
It was really, really cute. So like, he goes to her basically saying like, I don't know how to dance. I'm trying to take out Veronica. Can you teach me how to dance? So already I'm just like, oh my God, he's going to his like neighbor girlfriend, like, you know, just to, like learn how to dance. And she's like, totally, let's learn how to dance together. And so she's like, let me teach you the twist.
Dead.
KJ Apa trying to learn the twist.
She's like, no, babe, use your hips. he's like this.
Yeah. It was so cute. Freaking cute. I was.
And then he was like, I can't. He gave up. He's like,
no.
Through.
No. This is not working for me.
It was so cute.
It was so, so cute. And she's like, okay. Let's try the slow. A slow one.
She's like, flip, record, flip. Yeah,
flip the record. Put the slow dance song on.
Oh my God.
And this is when they have a bit of a Archie moment. Hands on like whatever, like they're holding each other. We get some slow motion, some smiling, close-up shots, like, and
I was like dying, like I was like, oh my God, like because they're kind of like, as they're doing it, they're like, well, this feels nice. And I think also it's because of the times, right? Like the times were in the 50s where like you don't do those things, like you dance like 8 feet apart, like you barely hold hands. We find out later that like Kevin and Betty hadn't even kissed, so like it's this time where like you don't really have this intimacy. And just that moment of them just like hugging each other and being close, where they were like, oh, okay, this is nice.
Yeah, you know? This is interesting. I enjoy this. And I don't know if it's because they're younger that they have this like shift in like how their parents were versus how they are now. Because you would expect them to be like, no, we cannot do this. You know what I mean? Like very regimented, especially someone like Betty, who has a mom like Alice, because she does walk into the room and is like, Archie, get out of my house. Betty, what are you doing? Stay the straight-laced girl. You know, like, what is inciting this, like, shift in their energy to want to be closer, to want to engage in, like, some intimate experiences with one another?
Well, we know why Betty.
Is it just an age thing?
We know why Betty wants that.
I mean, she's just, like, into it. You know what I mean? But
thirsty.
Of course, like Alice in this moment, as she did in the original season.
She's like, get out.
She's like, get out. You're being annoying. Leave. He leaves. And Betty's kind of just left with like a bit of a smile on her face. But it was cute. I really like, what a great way to start this Barchi storyline.
Totally. I freaking loved it.
And you sent me the I guess the interview from Lily Reinhart, and she does
Yeah.
underscore like, do not
You're
worry,
getting a lot.
you're gonna get
It's gonna be a
Barchi.
Barchi Buffet.
Yeah, you're gonna pop off on the Barchiness. I just didn't think it was gonna happen this fast, but I'm really
But
happy
no,
that it
but like
is.
it was so slow and I loved that. It wasn't like this overtly like, oh, I like you now. It was
No,
like
yeah.
totally like
More like I'm glad that it started in episode
now.
two. Like episode two, like
Yeah.
not like halfway through the
Yeah.
season like they have in the past where like she accidentally kisses him while they're digging up a body or something like that,
Yeah.
you know?
Agreed.
So it cuts to Jughead and Ethel talking about his writing and how he's excited about, you know, submitting his first draft. And she kind of talks about the fact that she would love to draw because she's an artist.
Yeah.
She would love to draw for Pep Comics. And he says, well, if they like my writing, I'm totally going to put your name in. Like, maybe we can work together.
Yeah.
And Ethel's like, oh my God, thank you so much, Eth, like Jughead, that'd be
Yeah.
so fantastic. And so it was cute. Before we get into it, what do you think of their relationship so far?
I don't know. Like, I haven't seen enough to really think anything of it. And she's always been sort of like this really wacky character. So, like, it hasn't been enough substance for me to like really like her or like I am rooting for her for sure. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. But I wish we got a little bit more. Having said that, I do feel like he doesn't like her. I feel like he just friend zones
He's
her.
very like platonic. Yeah,
Yeah. And
he's
she likes him. Like,
just
you can tell.
I
What do
don't
you
know.
think?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I feel like it would be cool to see them together in a way that we have not seen these pairings together at all. Like,
Yeah.
where is Jughead now in all of this mishmash of the new world? Like, if Tabitha's gone,
Yeah, that's
Betty's
true.
out, you know, Veronica's obviously likely not going to be in this situation either. Like, where does Jughead lie?
Why
Does
would
he
he?
need to have a romantic interest? Not
No, not
necessarily,
necessarily,
you know,
because.
but like you always kind of see these people and you're like, oh, like they could go well together.
Yeah,
Like
they
I
have
could
like so
totally
many
see them hang
interests, you
out.
know, like they're like friends,
And they're
but.
comic book lovers, like, you know, I
Yeah.
could see it happening, but
Where, and I really want to know where like Jughead and Veronica are gonna fall into. Because
because I
they keep
think
hinting at that and I'm like, but how?
we do see it in a trail. Like, I think in the trailer they were kissing, right? At one
Those
point.
are
So
those two have always been two characters that are at polar ends of this show. Like like they have nothing in common. Like they don't. Like
it's true.
even like Archie and Cheryl, I could see them at some point. Kevin and whatever. Like there's other characters that I can see, but like those two, I never see it.
Never get it. It's just like totally different worlds, right? Like he's literally living in an abandoned trailer. Like she's living in
Literally.
a hotel that her parents like decided to buy
And do you want
randomly.
some hot tea?
What's the hot
So
tea?
Lily doesn't follow Cole anymore on Instagram, but that's obvious, right? But you know who else doesn't follow Cole on Instagram? Yeah,
Ooh,
she be
Camila
unfollowing
Mendez! Oh my
him.
God!
Dude, something went down, I'm telling you. Cole, like,
Ooh,
yeah.
he done
He done
something
done
wrong.
something,
Oh
yeah.
gosh.
Anyways.
Okay, well, she's like, do not put me in a scene with him ever.
Yeah, she's like, ex, no.
She's like, my character does not do anything. I do not need to function with this
Yeah.
person. Anyway, so let's cut to the next scene. Kissing Point. I don't remember what it's called. Do you remember what it's called?
Like
The
lover's
little cliff?
lookout or something. It's
The
always like a
lookout point,
lookout
yeah.
point.
So all the cards are kind of stacked, and of course Cheryl kind of comes in. She's knocking on all the cards, trying to make sure that everybody has tickets to her dance. And one of the doors roll down, and they're like steam. They're like
Yeah, like you couldn't see
Titanic
it.
steam. If anything, I thought it was being hot box. Like I was like, what's going on in that car? Anyway, the windows roll down, and she sees Fangs and Midge, her sister Vixen, making out, and she's like, Midge,
How
get
could
out
you
of
do
here,
this?
get inside, like get
Yeah.
outside. Anyway, so she's obviously like against the serpents and fangs, etc.
Yeah.
And Midge is like in love, whatever.
Totally.
Also, they changed the actress for Midge. Like they changed a few of the
No.
actors. Is it this? Is it
It's
not the same
her.
act?
Yeah,
Are
it's
you?
her.
Oh, okay.
100 like I'm pretty sure it's
She
her.
looks like
I think
completely different to me.
the hair is different.
The hair, I think, is the same. I think this one looks more natural. The other one, she looked like she was
Maybe.
wearing a wig. So,
Yeah, maybe. No, but I
I
think
don't
it's the
know.
same actress. Because even me, I was
Anyways.
like, who is this? And I'm like, oh, it's Midge. Like, I connected. I was like, okay, it's her.
Anyway, so she's there, and then it cuts to Betty and Kevin sitting at Lookout Point quietly in the car.
Awkward. Like, oh my God, the sexual tension was not in that car.
Here's what I'm gonna say, and it's probably the only bad thing I'm gonna say, and it's really honestly not to Kevin's fault. It's, yeah, I mean, it's the writers. I mean, ooh, it's always okay. Been the writers, but
that's true.
I don't see a character, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm reading to this too much, but someone like Kevin, who's currently like confused and like going through his things, like going through the motions of driving up to Lookout Point just to stare into nothingness with your girlfriend who you're supposed to be making out with at the very least, and like all the things that they should be doing. Yeah. Like, you're either leaning into it and like really pretending to do the damn thing and like, let's find a way to make it happen, or you're like trying to avoid her at all costs. Like, seeing her in that, seeing them in that moment and seeing them sitting there awkwardly in the car, yes, cinematically and like television wise we're looking being like, oh my God, what's gonna happen next? Oh shit, like Betty just jumped all over him, like what the hell? But he's positioning himself in that for what? Like, what is his gain out of it outside of his own personal maybe guilt? Yeah. I just don't see a character like him doing that necessarily. Like, why would he even put himself in that position?
But he's just trying to, I think he's just trying to go with the motions of what everyone else is doing. Like, that's what you do on a Friday night. You go to that place and like,
you hang out with your girlfriend.
You hang out or whatever. And then like, least, like, how she even talks about the pin, right? Like, he was even scared to give her the pin because of like what that would imply and probably like what he would have to do. Well, so like, he is very hesitant. Like, he doesn't, like, he's trying, but then he's like, no, I don't want to go there.
Bring a little bit of more awkwardness to it outside of just like sitting in a car weird. Like, go have pops and like throw like stuff fries in her mouth when she tries to make out with you. Like, bring a little bit of something different to it outside of like him just being like, I just can't imagine just being in that position, I guess. I don't know. Anyway,
that's the thing. You can't, like, you can't. It's a totally different time. You know, like,
and I'm sure people did go through things like that and like sat in cars and felt
they could have been like, they could have even been like making out and then like she looks down and like there's like it's like not happening, and then like he could have been like, like, if you want to go
there, but that's what I mean, like, go, but that's what I mean, like, go there if you're gonna go there, then like,
yeah, but
let him have that moment, like,
so like rated like PG.
Like, we have seen some shit on this show. I cannot imagine them being like, oh, you're not hard, like, what's going on here? We saw Shoni tonguing each other like three seasons ago. Oh my God,
it's true.
So anyway,
maybe that'll come up next time. Like, maybe because like now, like, she has the pin, like, she's gonna want to do stuff, and then he's gonna be like, "No, I can't."
He's like, "I can't even." Nothing's.
But look, that's not really true either. Like, yeah, a lot of, you know, gay men have had sex with women.
Yeah.
So like, it is possible still. So you know,
it is for sure.
That's not a fair. Yeah. That's not a fair like representation either of like that he is, you know what I mean? Anyways, I think they just don't want to get so deep into it.
Yeah,
but because, I don't know. Like, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with this guy.
For sure. I looked anyway. We'll talk about him when.
So in this moment, she was just cheesed because she was like, "Pin me," and I was like, "What the hell does that mean? Like, is that like another way of like pin? Like,
yeah,
she wants to be pinned hard in the car." I was like, "Oh my God!" And then she's like, "No, like a pin, like an actual pin on her shirt,
old school, like put a pin on it." And I was like, "Does that mean that you guys are like going steady? Does that mean that you guys have had sex?"
Like, and I already thought they were going steady, like they were boyfriend and girlfriend.
I thought so too.
But it makes it like official. Like, a pin is like, we're good. We're official now.
Right. Anyway, she does try to kiss him. He pushes her back. He calls her a sexual maniac, like a sex maniac.
No, I was like,
bro. And I'm glad that she stood up for herself because I didn't want her to be this like dainty like girl. She was like, bro, I'm just asking you to like be intimate with me. You're my fucking boyfriend.
Well, and it's so funny because these two things are happening at the same time. She's feeling this chemistry with Archie, right? Like, she's noticing there is like this like pull here, but there's nothing happening here.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's happening at the same time, which is like a very like natural contrast. Way I feel like. Yeah,
for sure. So she storms out of the car, she leaves, he doesn't go after her in the middle of the night. Okay, cool. I don't understand that either, but fine. And then it cuts to Jughead in the comic book office. His name is Mr. Fieldstone. I forgot to write it down before, but Mr. Fieldstone really likes his writing. And then Jughead says, okay, I'm going to put my friend, who's an artist, her name in. She's great. She's cheap. Would you like to hire her? And as soon as Mr. Field Stone heard cheap, he was like, let's go, bro. Let's do this.
In.
So then it cuts to Riverdale High. And we have a moment with Kevin walking into the music room to practice. And he hears somebody playing the piano. And this is the guy that he was eyeing in the first moment of, like, when the sock hop was announced. Yeah. We don't know his name. We saw him last episode. He's like this beautiful young man playing the piano. And he introduces himself. He says, my name is Clay Walker. I just moved here. And he knows everything about Kevin. Kevin is this. He's dating the most pretty, the prettiest girl in school. And, you know, it's a really cute moment, because when I looked up Clay Walker, I think you mentioned this last episode too, but he is the character in the comics that ends up marrying Kevin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so
that's so cool.
They put his character into the show to, I guess, like, say, like, this is kind of the final destination.
Why would they ever have done him from the beginning? Which is so weird to me.
I don't know. Anyways. But at the same time, like, he kind of effed up with other relationships. Like, he could have been with Fangs, but he didn't, because he's an idiot. So, like,
but there was Moose. Remember, there was, like, Moose before that.
There was Moose. There were all these different characters that he had a chance to play with, and he was just, like, a loser. So
apparently, Clay is, like, the son of, like, a veteran, or, like, he's, like, a military brat. So, like, he's been traveling like his whole life, which I guess sort of lends that idea that, like, he's seen the world, he's very worldly, and he doesn't live in a small town, so maybe that's also why he's more, like, open-minded, and, like, he's more comfortable with, like, who he is and whatever. What I would like to know more is, like, why is he, like, do you think he knows that Kevin's, like, might be gay?
I don't know. I feel like he's being bold enough to put it forward. So at least he doesn't think that he's alpha enough to, like, beat his ass in the 50s. You know what I mean? Like, he's not coming up to him being like, oh, you cute. And then, like, being afraid of being, like, gang beaten, because that could have easily happened.
Like, what's your sign of saying to him? Because at the end, we'll talk about it too, but, like, he was very straightforward.
Very straightforward.
So it was more of, like, what made you to this point make you think that he would want to have, like, private lessons with you, or, like, private time with you? Nothing has happened.
Being a cutie cutie. Like, he's just being a cute little flirtatious boy. Like, it works. Like, Kevin obviously doesn't back down. He feels some feelings, just like Betty's feeling some feelings. Like, things are stirring, and it was a cute little moment.
Definitely.
The stirrings. So he goes and sits down at the piano while Clay leaves, and he has, like, a double take. And I was rooting for him at this point in time. The first thing I thought was, Kevin, please don't fuck this up.
Like, I know.
Do not fuck this up. Like, he is the
I know. Here. It's cute.
But then I also thought about it too, like, going back to what you were talking about with Moose and stuff. Like, does that mean that when we invest ourselves into certain relationships in this world, some of them might not translate?
Well,
like,
that's...
Clay doesn't exist at all in,
like, what's
going
to happen?
So introducing him now, being, like, the love of his life, being the person that he gets married to in the comics... why wasn't he even involved in the old world? So, like, when they go back, or if they go back, now I'm, like, wondering, does he meet Clay again? Or how does that all work? Or is Kevin just going to be this listless loser in the world? You know, like, does he learn anything? I don't know.
Maybe it's less about what characters end up, like, being there at the end, and more so our original characters and what they've learned, and, like, like, who they become later on down. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And I really am, now that we're in this world, I think that it's going to be like this for a few, like, at least this, like, I feel like it's going to be most of the season.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
How are we gonna like marry the two worlds? Like, we were invested for 7 seasons on these characters.
No, I think we'll come back to our originals, right?
But like, how are they gonna do that? How are they gonna make us feel like they're fused in a way that's not, like, awkward and weird and like, but this happened in this world, but this happened in this world, and he wasn't like that in that world. And what does he, like, to your point, like, what does he learn? Yeah. How is he different? Like, we're even saying, like, Archie's not angry and, like, punching walls in this world at all. Like, how do you marry him with, like, the angsty, tortured Archie of the original world? Like, how do you marry this Betty that is, like innocent and young, to the one that we know who is a, like, has the M4A gene and like the serial killer gene and this and that and like murders and blah blah blah. Like there's so much darkness in that world.
It just won't. I don't know.
But would you be okay with that?
I don't know.
Like
no.
Because like that's the thing. Like, are we so invested in those characters and seeing them through, or are we willing to take the reset and say, this is how you guys wanted to end Riverdale? That's how you're ending Riverdale. You know what I mean?
No.
It feels weird, right?
Yeah, like, it does feel weird. Especially so, because we're this late in the game. We're like, we have these established characters, we've gone through hell and back with them. And I see it. People are commenting and tweeting us, and they're like, this doesn't make sense. This isn't who this person is.
Right.
So it's hard because we all have this idea of who this person is already. So
yes, exactly.
Anyways, exactly.
Anyway, cutting back to the lounge, Archie talks to Veronica and he says, hey girl, I learned how to slow dance. Like, are you down to go out with me now? And she says, okay, cool. I want to actually also talk to you about how we're gonna spend the rest of the night. Like, how do you speak? Let's talk politics. Let's talk, be more worldly and all the smart stuff. And poor Archie, like, everything stacked up against
him. This is when I was like, girl, you're asking for a lot now. Like,
you need to, you're basically changing him at this point. And but of course Archie, doe-eyed Archie, is like, okay, I could do whatever you want. Like, I can. He's excited. I was gonna say something else, but he's very excited to make this happen for Veronica. As he leaves, Betty's kind of in the corner and she notices this whole thing happen.
Love this moment, Lord King,
with Archie. And so she turns to Veronica and she's like, oh, it's that easy. Like, you just,
she's like, so that's how you do it? Like, you just do that?
And she says, like, Veronica, without really knowing Betty very well and not knowing, like, her situation with Kevin, because she says, like, oh, yeah, me and Kevin are kind of on the rocks, whatever. And Veronica's advice is basically, like, yeah, like, maybe you should just, like, invite someone else to the sock hop and get Kevin jealous and see what happens there, because, like, that's how she plays it. So it's kind of cute. We get, like, a little bit of a...
I loved it.
Like a Veronica Betty moment, which was cute, like a Veronica moment. And I don't know, I was down for it, but at the same time, I'm also like, are we gonna see more of this? I love the Betty Veronica combo, but now there's a boy stuck in between them.
Well, that's what it's always sort of been about. And I'll say this now, and I'll probably say it again later on. The chemistry between all the actors is, you feel it. Like, you feel it, you see it, you hear it. Like, they are so, it's truly like magic to watch, because you're, it's like I'm peering into like their conversations as if like they're like, you know, like real besties friends talking home, and chatting. You just, the chemistry is there, and they're just so much fun to watch, whatever they're doing, whichever universe they're in. Like, they're just fun to watch.
Agreed. I know, it's really, really cute.
Yeah.
So anyway, Betty gets advice. Then it cuts to Cheryl talking to Dilton, because she's still sitting at that booth asking, like, hey, why aren't you getting a ticket? Why are people returning their tickets to the sock hop? Like, what is going on? And she finds out that the Serpents essentially are threatening to egg people as they are, like, going to the dance. And she's like, who is, like, who's leading this? Like, what the hell is going on? And Cheryl deduces that it's Tony. So she's like, it's on, bitch. Which, again, I love, because this is kind of how Tony and Cheryl started in the other world.
Yeah,
like, they started kind of as like enemies, then frenemies, then enemies, like lovers. So, like, I love that they're kind of still playing 100% with that experience, because it just works really well for them. I don't know. So she's like, tag, you're it, ready to like fight back. Then it cuts to Archie. This moment was so cute. Mary's doing the dishes, and Archie's like,
shout out to Mary. Like,
he's literally like this, like in a tiny suit. This
doesn't fit me.
He's like, this doesn't fit, because he probably hasn't worn it since. It's from
like his grade 5, like communion. Like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And so she's laughing, and then she gives him one of Fred's old tops, and it was a really cute moment between Archie and Mary. And honestly, sometimes I'm just like, okay, we get it, Archie and Mary, but these this episode, I really loved seeing.
No, I love freaking loved
seeing
it.
Seeing them together and like talking together. And I think it's because the old Mary comes with so much other weird baggage.
Yeah. And she came at a time when we were so used to Luke and Fred.
Yeah.
And she felt like this like foreign parent.
Yeah. And then she wasn't there for half the season. Yeah. Right? I guess like, she wasn't a regular. So she would show up from Chicago with her girlfriend, and she broke up with her. And like, she just came at the most inopportune time. So like, seeing her as a full-time mom to Archie and being the sole parent to Archie in this world and like lamenting over the fact that they lost Fred and like having those moments really, like, I don't know, this episode like really underscored their relationship. It didn't annoy me. I don't know, they were really cute. This moment really, like, I don't know, it was really special to see.
I agree. There's one thing that Riverdale writers have done consistently right, and that's written Fred's role and impact on Archie perfectly.
Mary
came a bit after, obviously, but like from the beginning, Fred and Archie, to the point where like when we lost Luke Perry and then they had to write that into the show, they've always like brought justice to that relationship, and it's always been so beautifully done, and they've never messed it up. They've never slipped on that ever. And adding this layer of now Mary in the mix, it was just so beautiful to see. Like, she's so nurturing, she's so like supportive. Freaking loved it. I loved it.
It was great. It was so good.
Yeah.
So she gets him ready for this little dinner that you know, he's having with Veronica. And then it cuts to Archie talking to Betty about writing a poem, because one thing that I forgot to mention in the scene before, Mary talks about the fact that like Fred used to write her poems, and like it was like this really sweet thing that they used to do.
Yeah.
So then Archie's like, oh, I'm going to write her a poem. So he writes Veronica a poem, goes over to Betty and asks if her to proofread it.
Can we quickly just talk about how the fact that like in this moment, Archie was like, oh, I'm going to go to Veronica's to like whatever. And she was like, oh, like that doesn't really sound like, she used the word haughty.
Haughty.
H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. And I don't know what that means. I was like, what does that mean?
I think it means like, I don't know, actually.
Wait, should I want to like, up? Yeah, let's, I'm going to Google it. Oh, arrogantly superior. So she uses that to describe Veronica, because she just kind of hears like a sound of it. And she's like, well, that doesn't really sound nice. That sounds, she's like
bougie.
Like she's kind of like leading you on to like be a contestant in her thing. So, but that was the first sort of like inkling of that, that Mary sort of noticed. But of course, Archie doesn't notice it. It goes right over his head.
Right. So anyway, it cuts to, and I can't wait to talk about that showdown between her and Veronica.
Oh my god, I know, I know, I could tell you're like ready.
So freaking amazing. But anyway, before that, it cuts to him talking to Betty. He wants her to proofread it, and he's like, tell me if it's really weird or sounds awkward. And she really likes it, and it's a moment again that we get like, itty bitty Barchi moment where she says like Archie has a poet's soul, and she's really impressed by him. And again, I think like going back to what we're talking about with like this new version of how they, I guess, start to nurture this new relationship that they have, she's not known these things about him. So to your point, in the original version, she, you know, she's known about him. She's very observant of him. She knows that he's the boy next door.
She knows his limits, and
she knows how to play within him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, that's why she falls in love with him. These little things she has not, in the 17 years that they've been neighbors, has not realized that he's a poet soul, because he's never really exposed those things to her, I guess. And also, I guess he's even learning himself that like, he's like, oh, I'm a poet. Cool. So I think it's cute to see them kind of discovering new sides of each other as we get to watch it in real 100%. Time as well. It just adds something different to their relationship. So anyway, so
it's very organic. Like, this is how feelings start, right? Like,
And that's the thing. It feels like we're watching it on ground zero. Like, we're not, there's no history behind it. It's like, it is happening in this moment while we get to watch it all kind of unfold. So then it cuts to Cheryl visiting the dark room. They call it the dark room. I guess this is like the white worm in the other world.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And this is where like all the other people.
She even says, she's like, I thought you would be like in a dive bar, like motorcycle bar or something. And she's like, no, it's just a cafe.
It's a cafe girl, like, relax. And so she talks to Tony about what she did, and Tony basically is like not letting up. She's like, listen, I did that because I want my boy Fangs on that stage. I also was just like, why is she so invested?
I know.
Fangs on that stage.
I was like, what are you? Like, his mommy? Like, what?
Like, his manager, his PR person?
Like manager mommy. Like, relax.
Momager. Yeah. I was like, what's happening here? So anyway, she's really wants him to be on stage. She's like, it is what it is. Like, those are your choices. Otherwise, if he doesn't show up, then we're going to egg all your patrons, essentially.
Yeah.
And so she says, why don't you stay? Fangs is about to go on stage. We don't get to watch the performance, yeah, but later on we realize that she's game and she's down for it.
Yeah.
So then it cuts to Archie arriving in Veronica's and him thinking, poor guy, that it's just a date between the two, yeah, of them. It's a bunch of people, including Julian and a few other suitors who I don't think we really know.
No, they're like randos. So can we just, I'm just going to quickly say that Charles Melton was not available to film for the first 3 or 4 episodes. Yes, that is literally the only reason, yeah, why he's, yeah, not in this. Which also leads me to like think, like, when he does come back, like, what role does he fill? Because... anyways,
yeah,
yeah, without getting too much
into it. We said a last episode, like, Julian is filling that role right now.
But then so, when he comes back, does Julian just dip? Like, what happened?
Or is it just going to be like an extra layer? And that's the thing. It's really unfortunate. Like, I'm happy for Charles Melton, and his career obviously has skyrocketed since Riverdale. And he's like, I'm too good for this shit. Fair enough. But it's unfortunate that he couldn't make these scenes.
Because like, it would have been really freaking good.
Because it would have been good, yeah, to see like him in this, like, world
Julian's
now.
And so like... like bland. It's different. Like,
I mean, I do like the fact that like, and Reggie wouldn't have brought this to the world, I don't think, unless they would have changed his story. Because
Reggie
as well.
And Archie are boys. Like, they were never really like,
they had a bit of a tiff in the beginning, but like they were never really like rivals.
Yeah.
But also when you look at Reggie, the original, this Reggie, his dad's like a working class dad. He owns like a car dealership.
True.
Julian comes
He's
for
like
money.
Rich. Yeah, yeah.
And like it kind of falls into place of that whole, almost a Chad character, that one that she was married to, Veronica, yeah, yeah, was married to. Like hoity-toity, blue blood, like we both, yeah, are rich, like your parents are rich, I'm rich. So he kind of fills that role, but it's true, like, where is Reggie gonna fall into the situation? If that is the case, I hope his entrance is very explosive, and maybe that is what brings Veronica and Reggie together in this final season.
I think, like, so maybe
introduction.
Yeah,
I just want, I'm very curious to see how they play it out, because it's a big question mark. I think it was a big question mark probably for them too. The writers were probably like, so
how
you're saying that Charles
this?
Melton can't show up for the first 4 episodes, like, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to see how he's gonna, yeah, jump in. A lot of people were speculating, I think you even might have mentioned it last episode, where the mysterious beanie showed up, and the fact that, like, is that his involvement? Like, is he kind of still on the periphery of the universes,
yeah,
being like, I'm here, but I'm not quite here. Here is a beanie that I stole from Percival. Like, I'm here now, and I'm also gonna forget everything and, yeah, become a part of the 50s. I don't know. I don't really know what they're gonna do with this character, but I'm interested. So anyway, they have this whole situation. Archie's going into it. He's very nervous about it. But it doesn't kind of resolve until a few late scenes later. It cuts to Betty talking to Alice about her feelings for Archie. She's like, I don't know, like, I saw him and we've been hanging out a little bit more, and I've been feeling like some feelings in my body. And she basically, Alice is like literally a cock block. She's
100%.
She's like, no, no, no. It has to do with the fact that you got rejected by Kevin. Like, you need to work on that relationship.
Like, totally gaslighting her. She's like,
totally making her feel some type of way about it. So then Betty's like, okay, I guess you're right. Thank you, Mom. You are very helpful, even though she never is. But
and she also, like, she just alluded to like so many things that like she did with Hal, like, obviously, yeah, in that other universe. Like, she's like, you can't like have sex, or like just like dumb shit like that. I was like, girl, you did that already too, and you're like childhood probably.
I know.
Didn't like Alice, and I was pretty annoyed by her. And I was like looking for one iota of like a normal mom person, and like she's still not there. Like, she's still unhinged Alice. Like,
she's very like that unhinged conformist Alice who like is brainwashed into that world.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, at least she's in the 50s. She was doing that kind of shit in the, like 2000. So at least she's like in the time period that it makes sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, so she kind of derails Betty's like exploration of this relationship with Archie. And then it cuts to Jughead and Ethel at Ethel's place, and they're talking about the drawings that she put together. Or Jughead's so excited. He's like, "Oh my God, these look so amazing. You're such a great artist." And she's like, "Okay, cool." And then she decides to ask him to the sock hop, and Jughead's like, "Oh, like as friends?" Like right away,
He's like,
she's
yeah, I'm going too. Like, so I guess we could go there
like, he's like, "I guess
together.
there'll be like free food or something." And she's like, "Yeah, sounds good." Like poor Ethel, like pushed to the side. She's like, "Yeah, just as friends." But he says yes. He's like, "I'm down." She's like, cool. As he's about to leave, her mom comes in and is like really
Like
upset with
freaking
her,
out. Oh, she's like, "Don't you
freaking
dare
out,
close
like,
the
why is there a boy
door."
in the room? Yeah.
They're standing
So
like 20 feet apart. Like
I know.
clearly nothing was happening.
Down a notch. But anyway, I mean,
Yeah.
I think all parents would
It's like
probably
at that time,
do
yeah.
that. So then it cuts to Veronica's party. And Archie's really starting to feel like a sore thumb. Like
Yeah, he's just
he's
like sitting there in the corner.
really feeling left out. And Veronica is making a little bit of an effort
Yeah.
with him too. She's trying to pull him into the conversation because everybody's talking and like making jokes and laughing. And Archie's just sitting there like trying to be engaged, but also like probably very overwhelmed with what the F is happening right now. He also like walked into something not realizing that that was what the situation was. So anyway, it's just like getting really bad with Archie feeling some type of way. Veronica's trying to push and like trying to get him to talk a little bit more. Archie's feeling out of place. Julian kind of pushes on his buttons, being like, "Oh, like where'd you get that suit from? It looks so old. Like you can't even afford a new suit or whatever." And
He's
then
like,
he
"It's
says
my
it's
dad's." And then he's like, "Oh, like what he wore to the grave?" I
I was like,
was
Julian, you
like,
so rude out here.
"Dude,
That's
that's
some mean
funny. It
shit." And then Archie's like, he was buried in his uniform, you piece of shit. Like he just got pissed. And then he does kind of catch himself and he says, "I'm gonna excuse myself," which is very different from the Archie that we know. Because he would have launched himself across that freaking table and strangled the F out of him if that was the old Archie.
The
And he
way you're
says,
like so impressed with Archie's non-violent side.
I am so impressed because they, I
I
think
was
it's
like, was
because
he that violent?
he was. Are you kidding me? This guy had a bo he owned a boxing ring, girl. Like he was ready to fight everybody. But like just watching him being like this person who's just like, "Okay, like you're really irking me, and like if I don't leave now, I will punch you in the face. I'm
So
out."
cute.
I loved it.
So
I think at the
cute.
end of the day, it still showed that Archie has like a lot of class in this world. Not to
You
say that he didn't have
classy.
like didn't not to say that he didn't have class in the other world, but I think after he came back from the war, he was over people
And
acting
it's
some type of
also
way.
like there's also a sense of pride in him, right? Because he's
Yeah.
like, "You know what? You're not even worth it. Like, I'm here. Like, I'm good. I'm
Yeah.
gonna leave the situation. This is not worth it." And to
Right.
have that sort of backbone too is very like it's sexy. Like, it's he's not just like sitting there being like, wah, wah, like, you know.
Right. And I think it is caught by Veronica a
She,
few times, like in this
yeah.
moment. She kind of
She
notices
clearly
how
wanted
she.
him and only him, and it's like she couldn't just say that. Like,
Yeah, she's just acting like a fool. So anyway, so he leaves. Then it cuts to Veronica coming to visit Archie the next morning at the Andrews Res.
the
And
nerve, the
the
audacity on this
audacity.
girl.
This girl comes in and is like, "Hey, just want to say hey to my
She,
boy."
cause she's like, "Oh," she's like, "Hey, Miss," and she's like, "Where's Archie?" She's like, "He's at the grocery store." She's like, "This early? Well, then why are you here if it's this
Yeah, girl, what is
early?"
going on with your life? Like, go get some groceries. So this part killed me because for the first
Dead.
time probably like ever, Ver like Mary killed her, like
Like,
destroyed
duh,
Veronica.
destroyed. And it's
Didn't
so
even miss a
funny
beat.
because it's like in this episode, everything that I wanted as I was watching, I was like, this is gonna happen. It happened.
Yeah.
And there's so many times when I'm watching River Down, like, is this gonna happen? And then they don't go that way, or it
Right.
cuts the commercial or whatever. But this, I was like, Mary, pop off Mary, and she did. And
She ripped her. Like she ripped right into
So
her.
what
She
did
was
she
basically
say?
she was like, how dare you do that to my son? He told me what happened. Like, how, like, she was like, you're the villainous in all of this.
Yes.
You're pitting, like, the boys against each other, and it's not even Julian and Archie, it's actually you.
She's like, I was like, I hope you know that you're the villainess in the situation.
I know, and Veronica's like,
was like,
I was gagged. I was so shocked. I was like, what the hell?
Not Mary Andrews rewriting that entire scene. Like, girl.
Mary destroyed her. She, like, ripped her a new one.
And then she slammed the door on her feet.
Yeah, she's basically like, don't try that stuff with my son. Like, ugh, he's better than that. He's a good kid.
My son is so good. I'm like, oh, my
yeah, baby it was boy. Just a clap moment. I was like... Like, I just slow clap.
Pour one out for Mary Andrews.
Yeah, vote for Mary Andrews. Like, I was so impressed. And Veronica got what she deserved. Like, I think it was really cool to see her have this lesson and this learning moment so early on in the season, because it shows that she's, like, going to start changing.
100%. She knew she messed up.
She knows she messed up, but also... I think that, like, having this hoity-toity girl walk in, you don't know where she's going to play and how she's going to play. And now that she's kind of getting the shake up. And how long she's going to play that
for. Like, we don't know how long she's going to... The one thing I did was I felt so bad for her in this moment. I really did. Because
you felt bad,
like,
for Veronica?
Yeah, I did. Because even though, yeah, she shouldn't have done what she did. But in this moment, there's a mom standing in front of her protecting her son. And Veronica doesn't have that. She's literally just standing there in front of an adult. And the adult's, like, cursing her out. For, like, no, she should have known better. And, like, she doesn't know better. Because, like, she's raised by, like, nobody. She's,
like, abandoned by her parents.
I just felt so bad for her, you know? Like, she almost, like, looked at Mary being like, wow, this is so nice. Like, a mom is caring for her son, like, so deeply, you know?
Right.
Anyways.
It's like, my mom has a TV show and she doesn't even talk to me on the phone. Yeah. So, anyway, then it cuts to Alice. Asking Kevin over. These parents are suddenly, like, running in on these kids. Like, it was, like, back-to-back Veronica getting told by his mom, and then it was, like, Kevin being, like, coached by Betty's mom. So she's over and she's like, you know what, Kevin, Betty's a simple girl, just like all girls are simple girls. You just gotta give her a pin and everything will be fine. So he's, like, nervous, obviously, because he doesn't want it. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he says, like, you know, she's just a basic bee and this is all she needs. She just wants to be known, told that she's, like, wanted and feels good about herself. And the pin is going to do that. She's like, it'll take the pressure off of you. It'll take the pressure off of her. Win-win. Just do it. Here's the pin that Hal gave me. We're good to go. So Kevin's like, okay, cool. Then it cuts to Tony helping Cheryl sell tickets to the sock hop. And again, a really cute Shoni moment. Like, they're playing together. They're already
love this moment.
Like, they're just, like, bantering with each other. She's, like, grabbing tickets from people, intimidating them, being like, you're going to buy five tickets.
Yeah.
Right. And then she, like, hands, like, you know, Cheryl the money. And you can see that Cheryl's having these glances where she's like, I'm getting the stirrings. The stirrings are happening.
The stirrings. For her too. So there was a really cute moment because Tony looks over at her and she's like, like, did you tell Kevin that, like, he's out, like, that he's not gonna perform?
Yeah.
And I think early on in the episode, Tony at one point says to Cheryl, like, can you dig it or something? And then, like, in this moment, she's like, did you tell Kevin? And she's like, no, she's like, I didn't tell him yet, but she's like, I will. And she was like, can you dig it? And I was like, that's so cute. Like, Cheryl's, like, starting to, like, just open up a little bit more and, like, just, like, relax, you know? Yeah. It was very, and that's the thing. Like, I love the subtleness of this episode because, like, it's just in those little lines and you hear it and you're like, okay, it's starting. It's starting. And I love that. Yeah.
It's starting. I love it. It's so good. Then it cuts to poor Ethel in the principal's office because she was drawing in class, trying to catch up and draw these drawings. And this freaking psychiatrist. So we did find out through our listeners that this psychiatrist is, he was the superintendent from
the Jughead's prison.
Old school.
From the prison. He's the warden in the prison.
Oh, I looked him up and he was like the guy who, like, jumps out the window at the end of that season. Okay,
maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
Maybe it was both of them. He was the one that, like, was, like, trying to come for Jughead in that world. So they just rehired him as a psychiatrist. So
yeah.
I'm really interested to see, like, what his role is going to be.
Why are they, like, working together? Like,
Yeah. No, I think the print, like, to your point, I think the principal is the warden, but the psychiatrist is the other guy. So anyway, it's just interesting to see that these new characters are kind of being repurposed in this world, and like, does that mean anything? We don't know.
Yeah.
So the psychiatrist is like asking F all these questions, like, where are these visions coming from? They're so demonic and like evil. And she's like, bro, it's for a comic book. Like, it's not my even job. From my brain. Like, I'm actually just writing for a comic book.
Yeah.
And the principal's like, no, well, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. You're getting detention starting today. And Ethel's like, cool, I'm just gonna not go to detention because I have to go to the office later. So anyway, cuts to Veronica talking to Archie in the hallway, and she apologizes to him. And he still, like, even through all of that, the ish that he had to be put through by Veronica, he's still happy enough to say, hey girl, you want to go to the sock hop with me? And she actually decides, and I don't know if she does it on like in that moment, or she had decided this after, like, she left maybe Mary's, like, Mary Andrews, but she says that she's not gonna go with anybody.
Yeah, she's like, I'm just gonna go solo.
But then Archie gets pissed, because then he's like, well, then what was the point of you doing all the things that you did? And then she says something, and it, like, this is kind of like where the meat and bones, I guess, of this version of Veronica is. She goes, it was a game, Archie. The queen of the hive gets her worker bees all buzz and flies away before anyone gets stung too badly. And so she's doing it as a coping mechanism. She's 100%. Doing it because she doesn't know how to handle love, and she doesn't know how to handle
rejection,
the true and pure attention of a boy, and rejection,
and like the fear, right, that like if you get too close and then he leaves, and then like you're, you know,
yeah, exactly,
you're done for.
Yeah, done. So that is kind of her foundation in this story, so it'll be interesting to see what else they play with that, and if they bring the parents in, how that has affected her, and how that's different from the Hiram and Hermione that we know from the original world. But yeah, she's clearly very guarded, and she was just admittedly saying to Archie, like, yeah, I'm just being a bee for being a bee.
That's what queen shit is.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Veronica and Betty talking in the change room. Veronica says, like, I'm going solo right now. And then Betty kind of like, she perks up, and she's like, oh, does that mean that like Archie is like free on his own? Like, he's not asking anybody out. And she also says, like, did he give you the poem? Like, did you read the poem that he gave you? And Veronica's like, I don't remember a poem. Like, I'm still not going with him, but like, cool. Like, I just, that sounds good.
Yeah.
And then Betty's like getting more excited, because she's like, ooh, maybe I should ask Archie.
I volunteer.
To the dance. Then it cuts to Betty literally about to approach Archie. I was like,
wait, like, this moment was like crazy. The music was nuts.
It was so like romantic, and like, it's like slow motion.
And then Archie's like,
he's like, hey.
He got excited because he was like, oh, what is she doing?
And then it's like literally record scratch. And then Kevin's like, hey girl, come over here. Yeah. Can you come over here?
Parody, it's important right now. We got to go. She's like,
she's like, fine. So then they meet in the music room, and he apologizes for being a crappy boyfriend, and he gives her the pin. So he does like everything that, you know, the mom wanted him to do. And he goes even harder. He's like, I love you. You're the girl for me. She's like,
I didn't want that.
I just wanted a pin. I just wanted you to kiss me. I wrote down, oh God, because I was like, this is gonna go far. So horribly.
He didn't know what to say, the poor guy. He just kept going.
He's like, here's a pin, and I love you.
I love you.
And I'm gonna marry you. And I want your children. And let's get married right now. Like, he just like goes all the way. I mean, the sad reality is I feel like that was a lot of people's struggles.
And he was cute in this moment. Like, he was.
You know, they leaned into like living the lie for as long as they could, because like that is just what people did. So I don't know. And that's the thing, like, to a degree, as much as he's been annoying in past seasons, the way that they're writing him now,
it's
not annoying me. It's more just like, oh, that sucks that you have to like push yourself into the situation and feel this awkwardness and weirdness. And
Casey's been playing it really well too. Like, I will give him that.
did a great job. Listen, he did a great job being that psycho that they wrote in the other seasons, but that's like it's just the writing. It was the writing.
Yeah.
Anyways, so he's leaning into this thing. Betty's like, sure. And even in that moment, I felt bad for her because she was like, bro, I was about to ask out your boy, like Archie. Like,
yeah.
You can tell that she felt bad, that she didn't want to break up with him. She's just like, okay, I'm going to lie to myself.
100%. She just kind of resolved it and she's like, all right, sure. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Which is exciting because we know that that's not going to last forever. Then it cuts to the psychiatrist telling the principal that Ethel skipped detention. And they're like, what is wrong with this girl? We need to talk to her. Like, they make it such a big situation this episode. And I was like, why do they gotta go in on Ethel like this? Like, yeah, so like rude. They go
so hard on her.
And they make it seem like she's like this delinquent child. Like, she literally drew one thing and they're like, she's the devil.
Yeah, like if it had been like a pattern of drawing weird shit, like, I don't understand. But like, it was like one drawing. Like, calm down.
Exactly. Like, the one time that she had a boy in her room for the first time probably in her entire freaking life. And then in the same week, she draws one thing for a comic book and then like, doesn't pay attention in class. She freaking gets detention and now she's like a juvenile delinquent. Like, you're talking about Ethel effing Muggs. Yeah. Like, she couldn't hurt a fly. Anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, or does she? Then it cuts to Smithers. So Smithers is back in this world.
Yeah.
He shows up and he says, this was in the trash, madam. And Veronica's like, okay, let me read it. So she reads it and that's exactly how she does it. I don't know about you, but that's what she says on camera. She reads the poem and she's like, oh snap, I did not realize that I done effed up with Archie. So
yeah,
then it cuts to Ethel. She gets home and she's all happy because she got like such a glowing thing. I don't think I talked about the fact that they went to the comic book place. The guy's like, oh my god, you're an amazing writer.
Hired. She got hired. Yeah,
high fives all around. So she gets home and her parents are pissed. Like they are not happy about what happened again. This one time she like,
and it was
skips
like
out like,
yeah, it was
the
intense.
Dad was like, what's wrong with you? Like, I was like, I get it if it was like, I don't know, I guess they just don't have the time to do it, but the backstory isn't there for me.
Well, like it happens in one sentence because she was like, I don't care, mom, you're an alcoholic and dad, you're like never here. I was like, okay, that's her life. Like the end. Like, we got it.
You put down a bottle for once and saw that your daughter was learning how to draw, then you wouldn't be okay with it. Like, thanks for paying attention to me. I just skipped attention one fucking time.
And dad, when I was 3 years old, you hit me in the face and I've been traumatized ever. Like, she went off and I'm like, oh. And they even like followed her to like her bedroom door.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to the dance. And they're like, oh, hell, you're not. And the mom said something. She's like, over my dead body you are. And I'm like, oh, you just cursed yourself, lady, because now you go die.
You don't do that in Riverdale. So then it comes to the sock hop. Then we get to like the final scene, the sock hop. And
so, sorry, before we get, did you think anything of her that moment? Because like,
you know,
for
what?
Me, when the mom said it, I'm like, you're out. Like, that's it. So I'm just
I didn't down. I think I guessed that was what was gonna happen, but like two things. I think one of our listeners spoiled it and said that she probably kills them. And then also she shows up in the trailer at a dance, like covered in blood.
Oh my god, so, I totally forgot about that. I totally forgot.
So I was like, she's gonna get violent or something is gonna happen. But also, and we'll talk about it at the end of the episode. Yeah. We don't really know whose blood that is. So
anyway. No, you're right. You're right. It might be her own. It might be like a heavy day. You just don't know. But it's in the front, so I don't know about that.
She's like, clean up an aisle for it. Was like,
is that
not as making fun of periods.
Oh my god, I'm allowed. Okay.
I know. I'm like, go on. You said it, not me first. Like, let's go. Anyways, okay. So funny. So the sock hop, and I didn't realize this, and I don't know why I didn't until
me it too. Showed
it. The socks.
They're literally socks. I'm like, oh my god.
They wear their socks and they dance. That's cute.
We're okay, so not cool. From that jet time. I know. Really.
Everybody's like, everybody I'm thinking, nowadays like, is
they're
like,
just like saw copying, like that's like the dance.
That's like the type of the name of the dance.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they take their shoes off and then they go dance. Then it like shows everybody in their kind of sequences. First it shows Kevin, he's kind of hanging out, and Clay low-key flirts with him. He's like
high key.
Oh hey, yeah, high key actually. He says like he says, oh yeah, like I heard you're not performing anymore, that sucks, it would have been nice to see you. But like Fangs is like easy on the eyes,
right? Just like you. Like,
so are you.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it in a very weird way, but like he says it in a very classy, kind, like almost true. Not presuming, like not like a very like I'm coming on to you way.
No,
like
yeah, yeah.
There's a way to say it to be like, ooh, girl, I would eat you up. No, you know what I mean?
Very like
just almost innocent in a way. Like it was almost like he said it, and you said this earlier, like,
but like
he presents it almost like he's so comfortable with his sexuality that it's not a big issue for him. So he even says, he's like, yeah, you're handsome, like yeah,
100%,
and so is he. And like he doesn't say it with any level of like trying to be weird or like skirting around it. And like in that time you would think that was a big topic, like nobody talks about being gay.
Because even
like
Kevin, Kevin was like, what, like you just think I'm attractive now, you just said that, like he's like Gucci, no, he's like I gotta go to Betty.
Yeah, exactly. So it is interesting to see like Clay with this like confidence, and to your point, maybe it is because he's worldly, and like maybe that'll come into his history, maybe we'll find out like, listen, my dad was in all these different countries, they treat gay people in a different way, and it's very positive. I don't know what country that is in the 50s, but maybe that's it's true. Out there. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Let's give us some hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that relationship develops, because I'm 100%. Very excited about getting to that point for them.
Yeah.
Then it cuts to the Fangs performing. Everybody is vibing with his dance. He's good. Got a great voice. Shout out to Fangs and the singing. It was fun. It was good. Then it shows Cheryl as like he's performing. Cheryl talks to Tony, and Tony asks her to dance.
It was so cute. She's like, are you gonna come like and dance? She's like, no.
She's like, I don't want to. And then she's like, oh, like I can't dance with another girl. And Tony's like, why can't
everyone was dancing together. I was like, there's nothing, like everyone was dancing together. So I was like, it's not like you're gonna stand out. But just another really cute Shoni moment. And like, I know the Shoni shippers are out there. Like they are fully fed after last night, like fully fed. And it's so freaking cute. So cute.
So she pulls her onto the dance floor. They're dancing super cute. But the principal.
Oh,
lurking. Like a freaking weirdo. Ugh.
So creepy looking.
She sees them dancing, and he gets like pissed. He's like, So then it cuts to people slow dancing. He moves to like a slow dance song.
Yeah.
And then it shows Veronica, and she goes to talk to Archie.
Yeah.
About his poem. She's like, hey boy, I read your poem. It was
and
really
she
sweet.
Like says it. And it was very cute. Yeah, like, and he's like, I tried to rhyme. And she's like, yeah, it's okay. Like it was a very cute really interaction. And then really what does she say then? She's like, I'm okay. Like, you want to dance now? Like, she's like,
would
I'm
you
down. Like,
would you have this dance with me? And for the first time, probably like, in like history, he rejects her.
Loved
and he
it.
He says, no, no, no. I'm going to go dance with my mama.
Mommy,
let's go dance.
And then like, you just see him like off, like in the back, he like runs over to Mary and he like grabs her. I'm like, oh.
And she's like, damn. She's like so pissed.
Yeah. She was like, that's cute.
And then Julian kind of scoops in, and he asks her to dance, and then he kind of persuades her to be like, he's like, hey girl, like
a little bit,
why are you gonna be on like, the sidelines?
And she was like, where have you been this whole time? He's like, no, I've been here. He's like, I'm just kind of like lurking, whatever, waiting for my moment.
I'm lurking.
And then she's like, do you want to dance? She's like, oh yeah, okay, whatever.
Sure, let's dance. So they're dancing, they're paired up, and then it shows like the scene where like behind, almost like in the bleacher area,
like everyone who, like didn't have a partner.
Didn't have a partner like, oh. Who were like single, not dancing, including Tony.
Did Tony you see was Tony was like there. Chugging.
And Clay is also there too. But what I noticed, and like maybe it's just like me noticing these things as a person of color, but like it was a lot of colored people sitting on those bleachers. And like I wonder if they're like subtly still bringing those little elements in. Like, yes, the school is integrated, but it's like what I mentioned earlier, like they're still not hanging out with each other. They're still not like friends with each other. Like, Black people are still not being asked to dances, you know?
But like Tony, technically with Tony, I know what you mean though. Like, I know. I'm just
I looked around, I was like, everybody on the bleachers is a person of color.
See
one person that wasn't. So I don't know. Maybe that was just like a thing, but I feel like it's pretty purposeful.
And J-Lag, like, again, like, that is something that they should be covering. Like, that's a huge thing.
For sure.
I mean, they covered it with Emmett Till, like, in the first one. The Riverdale core, you know?
Right. And they haven't touched upon it there yet. And I think that this was a way of saying that this still exists. Like, let's not pretend that we're all, like, homogenized and we're all, like, good to go with each other. This was, like, a little shout out to the fact that they're still in a racist world, even in the small town, as progressive as they think that they are.
Yeah.
So then, as they're all slow dancing, Cheryl's kind of on the sidelines again, and the principal comes to talk to her, and he's like, look at all these people, just straight-laced, straight people, just dancing with a woman.
Isn't that amazing?
This is just how it should be.
Yeah, like the God intended.
Fucking hyper-religious bullshit.
And she was like, yeah.
Cringe. He's like, cool, my trauma is activating.
Yeah.
Like, she's like getting so nervous. And then in the final scene, we see Ethel pop those doors open, covered in blood, Carrie style, and she falls onto
Jughead,
the floor.
Jughead like tries to grab her.
Jughead grabs her and she goes, Jughead, something terrible just happened. And that's it.
He's like, is this your blood, girl? Because, like, it's pretty gross.
Yeah, he's like, ew. He's like, your blood.
So, yeah, that's how the episode ends. What did you think of that ending?
I was excited because I think the first episode I said to you, like, are they going to have, like, a murder mystery, like, angle to this, just like we did in the first season, and that's why we fell in love with it. They're already, like, twisting the 50s world into something darker with this blood and scariness. So I guess I'm very intrigued. And I want to know what it is because I think I mentioned it earlier. Yes, we can safely assume at this point in time that, like, maybe she killed her parents. But also, why did she show up to a dance wearing a dress in her parents' blood? Like, that is a little dramatic.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe it happened at the dance. Maybe somebody died in front of her, like, just out the hallway. Like, we don't know what that next scene's going to be, essentially. So, like, I'm really intrigued to see, like, how it's going to play out next episode. What about you? What do you think about that ending?
I mean, now that I'm hearing what you're saying, yeah, like, it might be something else. Like, I would love it if they flipped it and, like, you know, we lost a student in the first season. We lost Jason. What if this season, like, the killer is a student?
Ooh.
But I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited. I'm very intrigued. I love that ending. And I love this episode. It was so freaking good.
I loved it. It was great. Just a different take on Riverdale, but, like, I ate it all up. Nom, 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 nom.
For sure. Okay.
Recap roundups.
Best moment. My best moment is going to go to, I think this is, like, so many people's best moment. It's the Betty and Archie dancing scene. And I think we explained all the reasons why. And also, I will add into that is the slow motion walk to his locker, and he sees her and he's like looking over to, because he looked intrigued too. He was like, wait, what is she coming over to tell me? And then it all ends. But I thought that was such a cute moment.
For sure. My best moment is that Betty Archie slow dancing in her room scene, because, like, that is the ignition, that is the spark that we need to get to the final destination. So
definitely.
Very excited.
WTF moment. WTF moment, I think I'm gonna say probably reintroducing Ethel Muggs, because I forgot about the promos and, like, I totally forgot. But her storyline, and then obviously, like, if she killed her parents, like, what's going on with that? In an episode that felt so innocent and, like, straight laced. You know, this was the perfect curveball right at the end to kind of be like, nope, this is Riverdale, like, we're still gonna have a murder. So I loved it.
That was my WTF moment as well. So it sounds like we're having very similar thoughts.
We're, like, synchronized here.
MVP.
MVP, like I said before, honestly, I couldn't choose one person because I think they were all so great. And I think that it lends to the chemistry that all of these actors have with each other, that they are truly like magic on screen. You know, they light each other up. They like have these like cute little moments. They laugh. Yeah. Like, it's just, you truly do feel the chemistry between all the actors. Like, especially with Shoni, like especially Vanessa Morgan and Madeline, like you feel it. And that's huge. Like, that's something that, you know, after 6-7 seasons, like, you can definitely see that. So that was my MVP for an episode that really was about those relationships, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mine is going to go to one person and one person only, and probably for the first time in Recap Rerun history, Mary effing Andrews.
Andrews.
Giving that slap to the little bratty kid that Veronica showed up to be. I loved that moment so much. Yeah. I was like, Mary, you go fight for your son. Yeah, he is the, like, you know, I saw that. And as a parent now, I'm like, yeah, you tell her. You,
yeah, you
don't fuck like, with my kid. You know what I mean?
Don't
like,
be effing with my kid.
I loved it. I loved it. It was so good. She's so amazing.
LVP.
My LVP is going to go to Alice, just because I really, really did want like a smidgen of a normal Alice or a normal parent for Betty. We obviously don't get that in her at all.
Right.
If anything, she like encourages, she like falsely encourages Betty and like tells her like, oh, like it's just like because like your feelings for Kevin, and like, and then like goes behind her back and like calls Kevin over and like.
Gives, yeah, she like so goes just even further.
Very,
yeah.
You know, it's typical Alice that we've seen in the first earlier seasons, like very controlling, and it's just. I wanted more, a little bit more from Alice.
And I think that's the thing. The problem is it's the Alice from first season without like the baddie Alice that we knew her as, you know, like her
but
history.
I think she was like alluding to that. I think that's what she was saying. Like when she was like mean, like, you know, like you could, I feel like she was just alluding to this prior past of like sexual deviances and things. Like she probably did that before.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cause like that was like
but
her
maybe
story
we'll never
line.
Get
like,
to know that.
She was a part of the Serpents, Alice, etc.
Freaking, that was iconic. Oh my God.
But my LVP also is Alice. I wasn't a fan of her at all this episode. I was very annoyed that she stuck her nose where it shouldn't have existed. She obviously caused a lot of conflict and elongated this process of getting to Barchi and getting Kevin a finally getting Kevin a happy freaking storyline. Alice all the way.
The best line.
My best line, I have two, but the first one is the one with Tony and Cheryl when Tony's like, by the way, did you break the bad news to Kevin yet? And Cheryl says, no, but I will. Can you dig it? And
it was
like, and the way her face, she's like, can you dig it? Like, she's like trying to like be cool.
Like, almost
it was so
there.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
it's
was
very
really
like
cute.
This, like the Sandy in Greaser, like in Greece, like moment where she's starting to be like a little bit of a bad girl.
Yes, definitely. And then there was also a line by like the writer guy at Pep, and he's talking to Jughead, and he's like talking about like his writing, I guess. And he's like, well, it's pretentious, clunky, and too much dialogue, but it'll do. And I feel like that's like the perfect summary for Jughead. Like, too much dialogue, like, you know?
A little pretentious.
Very pretentious. Yeah. Like, it's totally Jughead and Cole Sprouse.
For sure. That's so good. My best line is going to go to our girl, Veronica, because when she said it, I was like, ooh, you sad, sad girl.
Yeah.
When she says, it was a game, Archie. The queen of the hive gets her worker bees a buzz and flies away before anyone gets stung too badly. And I was like, that's some
very
trauma
good line.
You got to deal with, girl.
You know, J-Lag, I'm surprised you didn't pull the Mary Andrews quote, the villainess one.
Oh, I don't. I loved her iconic moment. The lines itself, I was actually pretty shocked when she said, like, you're the villainess, but that one was good too.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's get into our recap roundups from our listeners.
Whoa. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You want to go first?
Yeah. So at Shoni5on, it says, best moment, every scene with Shoni gave me season two vibes with the whole flirting/teasing. WTF moment, Principal Featherhead being a homophobic loser. MVP, Shoni, of course, and Kevin and Clay. LVP, Principal Featherhead, saying Julian and Veronica. Oh, she's listing them all off. Julian and Veronica, what does she stand for?
Nothing.
Best lines, you and I get better, can get better acquainted, and can you dig it? Shoni Interaction.
So cute. On it, of course. Shoni, you're on brand.
Yeah. You're on brand right now. Yeah.
At Linda, best moment, Barchi slow dance. WTF moment, the principal foaming at the mouth over Shoni dancing and specifically trying to keep Cheryl repressed. MVP, Tony and Clay for being unapologetically themselves. Mary for being protective mother. Archie for standing up for himself and walking away from the Julian situation rather than getting aggressive or violent.
There we go. I told you. He's calmed down this season.
LVP, Kevin for interrupting Barchi. Alice for pushing her daughter to be with a gay guy. Veronica. I mean, it's more than that, but...
I don't think she knows that at this moment. Yeah. Yeah,
Veronica for hosting that weird party and treating people like her toys. Best line, what sort of person auditions boys for a sock hop?
That's true. Yeah. Mary Andrews Mary knows Andrews. The tea. At Dyke Wednesday, that's her name. I'm just saying it.
That's her Twitter name, okay?
That's her Twitter handle. Best moment is Veronica outright saying she sees boys as playthings like a queen. WTF moment, Cheryl's only plot lines being either dead guy's sister or lesbian with internalized homophobia. I mean, fair, but this time at least she doesn't have like a super hyper religious mom who is like beating down her neck and is about to send her to a conversion camp. I mean, that we know of yet. MVP, Tony for flirting with Cheryl like it isn't the 50s. Girl, you're going to get hate crimes. God. LVP, Julian for being so rude to Archie. Like, you're both... I can't say these things. Both gingers come left out. Like I said, this is not me. This is one of our listeners. Best line, just fangs scatting. That sure was something. Thank you.
At Deep End Car, Barchi all the way. Have to say, makers put extra effort in only one ship, i.e. Barchi. The lighting, the music, the way the scenes are shot is unmatched, truly.
Yes.
Best moment, everything Barchi. WTF, Kevin hijacking Barchi. Everything's like Barchi related. Yeah. MVP, KJ and Lily truly enjoying the most. So Barchi.
Barchi.
Oh my god. Okay, we got some on Instagram too. Let's from go. Naomi. Best moment, Betty and Veronica chatting about boys, the sock hop, and especially the big carry moment from Ethel and Betty slamming the door on Kevin in the car. WTF moment, Kevin chasing after boys again and Ethel asking Jugs who the sock hop. No, cover eyed emoji. Throw up emoji. MVP. MVP, Betty just loved the way she helped Archie, and Lily is just a very phenomenal actor and I love her. LVP, Kevin, multiple reasons, but overall just don't like him. Fangs, he's just a very, very bad actor. And Ethel, because why, she's back again. Never loved her and never gonna. Jeez.
Damn.
Best line, Archie's poem, and you have a poet's soul, Arch. Who knew? From Betty. Overall thoughts, why Fangs? Doily Ethel back? Question mark. That teacher/doctor is the teacher from season 4, Donna and Brett's school. Did like the episode, but some things I just didn't like. There were things we've already seen before, like Archie chasing after Veronica, even though she has other options, and the actors I just didn't like. Thanks, Ethel. Dude, the hate. Okay, at Sierra N, our girl. Hold on, where does it start? LVP, MVP, best line. Best moment, so many. The Shoni dance. I love their chemistry and I miss seeing them on screen together. The Barchi dance scene brought me all the feels. And that scene where Betty is a way to ask Archie to the dance is all kinds of epic. Like, Shoni and Barchi have unmatched chemistry and I can't wait for it to be explored more. WTF, the ending, like, that came out of nowhere and I'm intrigued at what this means for the plot. Like, did Ethel fully kill her parents or is there more to it? Best line, you have a poet soul, Arch. Who knew? Again, Barchi's chemistry is always unmatched, but this season it hits different. Like, their scenes all were so cute and I'm liking the buildup we are getting. 100% agree.
Yep.
MVP, joint between Betty, Archie, Tony, and Cheryl. Seeing Archie's growth after he rejects Veronica was so satisfying, and you can see these emotional memories from pre-Comet appear like RAS said they would in these moments. The way I felt about Veronica last week is how I felt about Betty this week. She is so fun to watch, and I enjoyed every moment she was on screen. Plus, seeing her in this fun, cute, innocent form is so fun and endearing. Cheryl was killing me this entire episode, from the scene where she interrupts Midge and Fangs to when she walks into the coffee shop with the fuck off red coat. Seeing Tony actually be a character for once is refreshing. Seeing Vanessa get to act actually in a properly written role is great. I just wish she got more backstory if we are getting Ethel's. LVP, right. Veronica, she must have done crack off screen this episode, because what the actual fuck was she doing?
Oh my god.
Leading Archie on like that to be like, I'm considering other options. And then after that awful party, she's like, I'm picking no one. And then when she gets rejected, she's like, well, I'm actually picking Julian. Like, girl, go get it together. Though seeing her not pick a man to go with and to go stag is nice, as it ties in with the whole pre-comment emotional memories thing. You guys, Jim Halpert. Overall, I found this episode a bit boring, but I miss a mystery or a villain. Even best moment, Betty standing out for herself with Kevin in the car. I hope they both can have the love they deserve with the right person for them. Very perfectly well said.
Yes, very well said.
MVP, Tony being a badass. LVP, the character growth of everyone that went away, like Tabby. I mean, I don't want to see these characters building things again from scratch. I like that their mindsets had evolved over the years. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Happy to listen to the podcast again.
Aw, thanks. Love you.
Wait. Oh, we have one more. This is a new person, I think.
Oh, okay.
From Brie. Brie Suarez.
Ooh.
Best moment, Betty and Archie slow dancing for sure. Honorable mention to all the Shoni scenes as well. Oh my god, we're all on like the Barchi Shoni. That was that moment, the principal, I think, being all whack and homophobic. The principal. MVP, Archie for calling Veronica out on her BS. LVP, Veronica and Alice. I think that's it, guys. Holy, you guys are so good.
I love it.
So many good roundups. And I think that's it for us.
I do have a question for you before we close off, because we didn't really explore it, and I'm sure it's going to come up again. But this love triangle that they're really, 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 really setting us up for this time around. Like, it feels different than what they did in the original.
The
like,
Barchi world. One, you mean?
The Barchi love triangle. Yeah, I feel like the way it's lined up makes me feel like, how is this all going to play out? Like, Betty doesn't really know her feelings once the whole Kevin thing is out of the way, let's say. And let's say even once the Julian thing is out of the way. How is that triangle gonna come together? How is it gonna interact? Are we gonna get some more like anger and frustration between Betty and Veronica?
Yeah, like I'd like to see that.
Like one of the things that Arias, I remember saying like in the very beginning, is like that whole idea of a love triangle is so like old school. Like we don't wanna see that. Like it's already been done. It's so tired. But like you're in the 50s. So like don't
and
tell me that you think
did
that
it.
It's not old school.
He already did it in the other. Did. So he has to kind of go out because he's already done that.
Yeah. And also I think, but the way that it was treated in the past, like it was always like, oh, no hard feelings, girl. Like they always squashed it by like one episode. Like Betty even kissing Archie and that whole thing coming out, like it lasted like 5 seconds. Like, they were never mad at each other. There was never like a
fight.
But like it was interesting to hear like Veronica get or Betty getting this information from Veronica being like, oh yeah, like Archie's single now essentially, even though he wrote this poem for me. And then Betty kind of going around and almost asking him out, you know, like what if he did show up with her at the sock hop? Like how would have Veronica have reacted knowing that this poem was sitting and waiting for her? Like there were a few elements that didn't get to be played out because of Kevin, but it would have been interesting to see that play out because I want to see that. Is there going to be friction? Like, I don't know. How do you feel?
No, I think what's more interesting too is the fact that in this version of events, Betty and Veronica, like, are they best friends? Because now, like, they're not as close as what we've known them to be.
Right.
And so, like, at this point, when you were saying, like, when Betty went and walked up to Archie, her allegiance isn't to Veronica at all because they're not like sisters just yet. And so it all depends on like, when is this going to happen? And if it happens, is Betty going to look at it and say, oh, I owe this to Veronica to tell her?
Yes, exactly.
It's all about that. I don't know. I think we'll see. I do want to see a little bit of that. Like we should get that a little bit. I'm hoping that honestly, like by that point, maybe like Reggie will be in and like maybe Veronica like feels a way, but then she's like, wait, like I feel like I'm better with Reggie anyways. And then like she kind of, which is kind of what happens in the comics, right? Like she goes to Reggie a lot in the comics too.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, maybe we'll skirt around the whole love triangle once Reggie gets kind of introduced, but
I think it'll be a triangle and then it'll become a square.
Yeah. And then like not involve Jughead whatsoever. Like he's completely out of it. No. Now it's just Reggie.
Yeah.
Cool. Very exciting. So that is the end of the episode. We would like to take this time to thank our patrons of the episode, as we always do, and appreciate our Rewinder squad. We have White, Cliff, Hannah, and Julia. Our Lit Rewinders, Tina and Kate. And our Mommy Rewinders, Becca, Sarah, and Tamala.
Thank you, guys. If you would like to join our Patreon family, check us out at patreon.com/recap_rewind.
And also make sure you're checking us out on all of our socials, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. We also have a Tiki Talkie now. You can watch some of the clips from this episode. I'm sure we're going to be posting some.
Yep.
So just keep an eye out. And also make sure you can find us out on Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you listen to podcasts. We are there, ready to fight. Not ready to fight.
We're not aggressive like Archie.
I know. We are very
so nice.
Like, subscribe, follow, review, and comment to say engage with us at Recap Rewind. As always, thanks for listening.
Bye.